Good morning. It's such a gift to be here. My name's Kylie, in case you missed that one. And I need to tell you a couple things that aren't on the script. Look at my good start already off script. Is your name Joel? Joel, you did such a good job. Can we clap for you? Yeah. So embarrassing. Joel, can I tell you something? I didn't grow up in church. And so rooms like this with the doxology and the turning to the cross make me nervous. It was the thing I was most nervous about today. I feel like a fake. But you, Joel, made me feel so brave. Because you walked down that aisle, you had to walk around all of these adults up the stairs with fire in your hands. And then you held it up here so strong and brave. And I thought, Joel, thank you. Because you helped me do it. You're helping me. Thank you so much. I'll quit embarrassing you. Yeah, good job, buddy. I thought, I don't even need to preach. We could just talk about Joel. But I didn't ask his permission, so I'll knock that off. Another thing I was thinking as I was sitting there was, I didn't grow up in church, but I started going to a Methodist church, when I was about 14 years old, and I didn't know the doxology, and they didn't put the words up. And so people would sing and I would do this. And I remember practicing, like looking up the words and practicing until I got it. And as I was sitting there singing it, and I knew all the words, I thought, God is so kind to bring that full circle. I'm so grateful to be here with you. Let's pray this morning. God, as I listen to this music, as I look out on the faces of your people who have gathered here, I am overwhelmed. Overwhelmed by love. That each face I look out on, each person in this room is just radically loved by you, could not be more loved than they are right now, right as they are. Would you help us this morning lean in to the truth? Choose the truth that we are loved people, every one of us. And not only are we loved people, we are people who get to bring love to the world, get to be transformed by that love, get to make the world look more like love. Let it be so, in Jesus' name, amen. In 1967, a psychology researcher named Paul Ekman traveled to Papua New Guinea to study the Four People. This was a society of people who had had really no contact with anyone else until about 1950. And the reason that he went there is he was trying to determine if there was a universal set of emotions. If without any outside influence, he could study and see, are there facial expressions that we all make, even if we haven't been taught them? And he found six, and later added a seventh. The six he found were fear — you can try on the faces if you want, I won't look at you — fear, anger, surprise, happiness, sadness, and disgust. And later, in 1986, he uncovered a seventh called contempt. My personal adventures with contempt began in my therapist's office when she recommended a book to me for people who struggle with contempt. And so I thought that was a fancy therapist word for anger. That's just what I thought. That's what I thought that word meant. And so I ordered the book and promptly put it on my shelf and didn't read it because I'm a person. How many of you have a book collection of books you've never read? Thank you. You're also, like Joel, making me feel more brave. But a couple weeks after I bought the book and promptly put it away, I heard of this study by the Gottman Institute. And what they were doing is they were studying, without being able to hear the conversation, they were studying married partners, just having an exchange. And they weren't listening to what they said, but they were using Ekman's research to code their facial expressions. And so they would measure how many times they saw the facial expression for fear, for anger, for surprise, for contempt. And contempt, the facial expression for contempt, was a key indicator, it turns out, in how those marriage partnerships were going and how they would go in the future. And having read that, I thought, oh, contempt, fancy therapist word for anger. I think I've heard of a book about that I haven't read. And so instead of reading the book, I Googled it. I Googled facial expression for contempt. And this is what I saw. Lip corner tightened and raised only on one side of the face. Interestingly, it's one of our only asymmetrical facial expressions. I invite you all now to try it on. It goes like this. As soon as I saw that image pop up, I tried it on. And you all, it felt so comfortable on my face. If faces could have a six-pack, I had a three-pack, one side. I then Googled, what does contempt mean? Because clearly the therapist was not wrong in her diagnosis and book recommendation. And the definition of contempt so matches the facial expression, because the definition is that whatever is on the other side, whoever's on the other side of this feeling, you are putting yourselves above them and you're putting them below you. It matches the face. The story that we read today from Luke 19 has a lot of up and down in it. Zacchaeus, who knows the song? I didn't grow up in church and I know the song. He's a wee little man. What a bummer of a title. Is that how you want to be remembered? They don't even say short, they say wee. He's physically lower. Then Jesus comes to town, Zacchaeus wants to see him, he can't because short. So he climbs up a tree. And then Jesus sees him up the tree and he says, Zacchaeus, come down. Not only do we have a lot of physical levels, there is a lot in this story for us to get curious about when it comes to the idea of contempt, and I would say the opposite of contempt, respect. And we all know that here in America, in the season we're in, here at St. Luke's, in the preaching series we're in, there's a lot for us to learn right now about how Jesus navigates contempt and respect. Zacchaeus wasn't just wee, he was a Jewish man. His name literally translates to righteous or clean. But we also read in the scripture that he is a chief tax collector. So for the people surrounding Jesus and Zacchaeus in this story, he is anything but righteous or clean. Though he was Jewish himself, Zacchaeus was representing the Romans. He was collecting taxes for the Romans, the occupying force, the enemies in many of the Jewish people's eyes. So not only do these people that he's with right now have to give him their money to give to the Romans, their enemies, the money they have to give him says Caesar is God on it. It's an act of idolatry. So they have to give him their money to an enemy, they have to commit idolatry to do it, and we maybe all have heard that the tax collectors at this time took a little extra. They didn't just take what was owed to Rome, they took what was owed to Rome, and then what they decided was owed to them. Not only is Zacchaeus one of these kind of people, he's the chief one of these kind of people. And I have to imagine that for the Jewish people gathered around in this moment, he's not even considered a person. He is scum. He's a snake. Have you ever called someone a snake? It's such a satisfying insult. He's a snake. Not me. I want you to put yourself in their shoes. As first of all, they see him bother even show up. Here's this renowned teacher that they're all trying to get close to, this holy man. And then in walks Zacchaeus, And then he dares that wee little man to climb up a tree. The song about Zacchaeus is cute, but it kind of steals the gut punch of the story. This wasn't silly for the Jewish people. This man was lower than low. How dare he? How dare he be there at all, let alone elevate himself above them? As I use those words, I would invite you to get curious in yourself if you've ever had such a rant, externally or internally, about anyone you know. I have. Remember? I got the book. How dare they? They are a snake. They are scum. Who would you just hate to see up there? I had a supervisor tell me once when I was a young adult, it was my first job. They told me something that has been trying to change my life ever since. Emphasis on trying. I keep it in my pocket. I take it out every once in a while. I was on a rant about this coworker of mine because I had just had it. Because they were just one of those kinds of people. And every conversation that this person had was about how smart they were. You know. How much better they were than everyone else. How funny. I couldn't stand them every single conversation. And so I'm in there to my supervisor, pop, 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 on this rant. How dare they? I am so mad. And my supervisor just looks at me and says, I wonder, Kylie, why it bothers you so much that this person think they're better than you, unless you think it's so unfair. Because truly what you believe is, you're better than them. Contempt. The same therapist who recommended the book, which I did in fact end up reading, often warned me of something I'm gonna give you for free today. It cost me $60. Hear me. This will change your life. She often looked at me and said, be careful, Kylie, not to become what you hate. Be careful. Don't become what you hate. Contempt does that. Contempt is this high contrast emotion. It turns everything into two dimensions, only two. No gray, black and white, good and bad. Often it makes everyone a bad guy, and often it makes us into heroes. And we have to be very careful, or the very people who we are in our supervisor's office ranting about how they always misunderstand us and they always treat us so poorly and they're ignoring us and looking down on us. The very people who we're having those conversations about are in their supervisor's office with our names on their lips, talking about how we always misunderstand them and treat them so poorly and misrepresent them and look down on them. Let's not become what we hate. There's a different way, and I would invite you to imagine it with me this morning. Because Jesus, that's enough, but I'll keep going. Because Jesus doesn't lift up the corner of his lip when he sees Zacchaeus in the tree. He lifts up his whole face and asks Zacchaeus to come down. Let's read this in verse 5. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today. So he hurried down and he was happy to welcome him. In Jewish culture at this time, sitting down at a table with someone signified a deep level of trust, acceptance, and unity. Something that is hard for us to even understand when we sit down at like McDonald's with a stranger. This is almost as polar opposite of an idea as you can imagine. If you sat down at someone's table with them, you were considered part of the family, and the host was committing to you to protect you. It was a place of unity and community and shared life. So offers of that kind of hospitality, please come to my house today, were obviously a big deal. And Jesus at this point is a big deal. He's a renowned teacher. So Zacchaeus having him over would have been a high honor. And what Jesus does here is still not normal. Jesus invites himself. Jesus invites himself to this level of deep intimacy and trust. I must. Not just like, you think you have some extra soup? I don't know why soup must be what I'm in the mood for. That's not what Jesus says. Oh, I mean, if you're not doing anything for lunch, I could come over. This is not what Jesus says. Zacchaeus, come down, I must. I must stay at your house today, Zacchaeus. I must sit at your table. I must meet you, Zacchaeus. And here's the key. I must meet you, Zacchaeus, not as lower than me, not as higher than me. I must meet you, Zacchaeus, I must, at a level table. Zacchaeus, we must come face to face. I said before that contempt is a high contrast emotion, black or white, good or bad. Zacchaeus, I'm sure, did some bad things. We know he did. Me too, you too. But contempt would tell us that that is all we are. That is all that person is. That wrong political sign, all they are. That stupid hat, all they are. What we read with Jesus and Zacchaeus is something else. Truly, I would say it's the opposite of contempt. It's respect. And respect is a thing that allows us to let someone be fully dimensional. Not black or white, not good or bad. It allows people to be a mixed bag. So does Jesus know that Zacchaeus has taken advantage of his people? Yeah. But respect looks up at Zacchaeus, and instead of only seeing that, respect looks up at Zacchaeus and says, yeah, there's a flawed, short man in that tree. But respect looks up and also sees the kind of man who at just a chance to glimpse Jesus would run, find a sycamore tree, and climb up. Jesus looks at Zacchaeus and doesn't just see the bad things that he does. Jesus looks at Zacchaeus and sees that this is a person who is hungry to experience the truth and love of God. Jesus looks at Zacchaeus, and in verse 8, we can read who he sees. Jesus sees this Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, look, half of my possessions, Lord, I give to the poor. And if I've defrauded, and you know, if you say, if I've defrauded, he's defrauded. And if I've defrauded anyone of anything, I will pay it back four times as much. That's who Jesus sees. This whole complicated person who, as soon as the ground is leveled for Zacchaeus, Zacchaeus does everything he can to level it for others. Where people are poor and he's rich, Zacchaeus gives back. Where he's taken, he gives back. In this story, respect leads to respect, and love leads to love. But if you go forward one chapter in Luke 18, you can read about the rich young ruler. Jesus respected him too, and it didn't bring any change at all. The rich young ruler walks away sad. I'm telling you that not to bum you out, but so that we can remember that this story, and I would say most of the stories regarding Jesus, are not formulaic. This isn't a story about how to get to do what we want them to do. I wish I knew that one. This isn't a story about how to change people's minds. I wish I knew that one too. But let's not miss it. This story isn't about how to get other people to act the way we want them to act. This story is about realizing, about living out of the truth of who we are and who we are becoming. This is a story that invites us to pause. For me, it's words like this, and I've been praying this over you. Sorry. When something inside of my mind or out of my mouth says, idiot, or stupid, I've been praying for myself and I've been praying for you that warning bells would go off. Is that what a loved person would say about another loved person? This is a story that invites us to ask ourselves that question: why am I so mad? Why does it bother me so much? Have I made this person in front of me two-dimensional? And what would it mean, church, to imagine, to ask ourselves what it would mean to level the ground and to meet that person at a table? Again, I'm not telling you this because you should do it. We can do things we're motivated by, I should do it, about six times, I think. Some of you can do it more. Good on ya. I can do it actually less. I went up. I can do things because I should do them, I think twice. And then I'm out of juice. Jesus didn't love Zacchaeus because he should. Jesus loved Zacchaeus because it's who Jesus was. How do we do it? Part of the answer is, I don't know. I don't know. We walk along the road. We see some idiot in a tree. We think, oh, I just called them an idiot. How can I become more like love? It's a good question. It'll change your life. But also, if you're here in the building, in your bulletin today, there's a piece of paper. You can get it out. And if you're watching online, it's about to be a slide, so you can take a screenshot. It's a resource from Resurrection United Methodist Church called the Dignity Index. It would change you if you let it. Because what this is a scale of how you might be doing with your contempt. And I'm up here, you're down there. That's just because you need to be able to see me. I'm not a professional non-contemptor. Probably the opposite. I'm not saying this like, oh, here's something you should learn. No, I want you to remember that contempt is one of the seven universal human emotions. It's gonna come up. That's not the problem. The problem is when we don't allow it to be an opportunity to transform into love. This dignity index starts with this statement: each one of us is born with inherent worth, so we treat everyone with dignity, respect, no matter what. And then it ends, they're not even human. It's our moral duty to destroy them before they destroy us. Can you hear the scale there? This is a tool for you to keep in a place you can see it and check in on every once in a while. How's it going? Where are the opportunities to let love change you and grow in you and around you. It's a check engine light. And then on the back of that, building skills for dignified conversations. And I love the verb. Building skills. It's easy for some of us, me again, to go, I just say whatever. Sorry. It's just who I am. I think I might have a touch of ADHD. So I just like, here it is, I'll just say it, or I know I'm so right. I'm just an opinionated person. What I would say to you is, I'm not sure that that is a fixed part of our personality. Offending people in conversations isn't, I'm sorry, a fixed part of your personality. It's not how God made you. There are skills you can practice. There are skills you can develop. And that's good news. We don't need to get it right all the time. You can start with a 2-pound weight. Build up. Practice love. I want to end today in the middle of this sermon. I want to just go back. As I was reading the scripture, as I was preparing for today and studying, the word that just kept jumping out at me as I read it was that I must from Jesus. Zacchaeus, come down. I must come to your house today. It wouldn't leave me alone. I was talking to Michael this morning. Give him a wave. And it was really fun because when you sit up here, which I was nervous about, but it's actually really fun, you get to see Michael's face, and you all do too, as he directs. And y'all, it's intense. Isn't it? It made me want to know how to do what you do or learn how to play the oboe or something just so I can watch. And Michael said to me, I might not quote direct, but it was pretty close. You said, I don't know how to not get as into it. I must. Not because I'm trying to be the kind of church person that makes an impression on people to change their minds so that they can be the kind of church person that I am trying to manipulate them into being. No. Not because God said, Jesus, you got to do this. Don't forget Zacchaeus today. Check it out. No. Jesus says, I must, because love said to Jesus, you must. It is who you are. You can't not. May it be so of us. Amen? Amen. Amen.